Synthaholics, it's the Star Trek podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. Today we have myself, Aaron O'Brien. We have David Duncan.
Tentacle porn. No.
We have Holly Michelle.
Hello.
And we have the returning guest, Jeff Heller, who is formerly from Film Dumpster, but yes. You have now officially changed the name.
We have. Thank you for having me back, folks. We are now Screen Radar. Our old website was kind of geared more towards film, and we started branching out to TV and streaming specifically with shows like this. So we have switched gears, and we're now screenwriters. We're covering TV, film, and streaming services as well.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
And hello, because I didn't say hi to you before we started the call.
No.
Jeff, is that is screenradar.com?
It is screenradar.com. Facebook, we've made it Facebook official. The site's been up for like a couple weeks now, but we made it Facebook official yesterday. We've YouTube, we all of our old interviews, including some old Trek interviews as well.
Nice.
We've got Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. It's at Screenradar.
Very nice. Very cool. Well, that's great. I'm glad you guys rebranded, and now it's, as you said, it's no longer just film. It's going to be streaming services and whatever else that's viable.
Yeah, we're very excited. We got some fun stuff coming up. We got some new features that we're going to be working on with some various very talented people, so I'm very excited about it.
Nice.
Is it Screen Radar or Screen Raider?
Radar, as in radar. Keeping entertainment on your radar.
Right, right.
Like Radar Love by Gold Earring.
Right, exactly.
It's a very big technological leap from a dumpster.
Right. Well, we also realized, too, that we kind of think maybe that was holding us back a little bit. The name had a bit of a derogatory, kind of vibe to it, so we think maybe it might have been holding us back a little bit, but we'll see where it goes.
Well, you know, I don't know about you, Jeff, but as being a product of the 90s, everyone was a little sarcastic.
Right, yeah.
So it was like, film dumpster.
It's like tongue-in-cheek. It's definitely 90s, though.
Yeah, yeah. And we used to be pretty self-deprecating, and we still are to a certain extent because of the name, really. But then we kind of getting our stuff together, and we got some good credentials and some quality interviews, and we're like, oh, you know what? Maybe we can act like the professionals that we are now.
Yeah. But the thing is, Film Dumpster will be super trendy in a couple of years once everything starts going 90s nostalgic instead of 80s nostalgic. So you might have switched your name too early.
Right. Well, we have a podcast as well. It is called it's Film Dorks, presented by Screen Radar.
Sweet.
And it's hosted by Tom Curley, who is an Academy Award-winning sound engineer, and Nick Berg, who is an arbitrator with the Writers Guild. So we've got some pretty solid experience and credentials behind it, so I kind of thought maybe you should,
Oh, yeah, for sure. A little less self-deprecating.
Well, ladies and jelly spoons, we are in the last episode of Picard.
Yes. We do have an email to read real quick, though, before we get into this episode, because it kind of makes sense to read it just at the top, because he's talking about his hopes for this episode, or his thoughts about this episode, and it kind of makes more sense for us to get into that, what his speculation is, before we kind of tell him what it is. It's from Brad. I'll be at work, so I can't watch it, but here's my hope. The idea that the twins have been hammered on all season, the androids call the non-organic entities, turns out to be a fleet of crystalline entities. Oh, that'd be kind of fun. Maddox woke up and Lore studied him. Lore turned into Maddox and forced him to make the androids. AI Soong turns out to be Lore, Data's twin, and cliffhanger for season 2. Great coverage on the Picard show. Keep up the good work. I'm in a rush, typing with gloves on.
Brad. Typing with gloves on, of course. Stay healthy, Brad.
Yes. Stay safe.
Stay good. All great ideas, and they took none of his ideas.
Darn. Nope.
Nothing. I don't think any of our hopes and dreams really happened in this episode. I mean, at least mine. A lot of mine didn't, I don't think.
I was going to say, I figured Soji would not become the Destroyer. I think I said that early on. But
well, thank God for that, right?
Yeah.
A lot to unpack, though, in this episode. A lot to try to dig into. So let's do just a quick spoiler-free. This is obviously part two of It in Arcadia Ego. So I don't know. Who wants to go first? Jeff, you want to just give a non-spoiler of how you feel this episode went?
I'd be happy to. Now, I should note, I mentioned this to Dave prior to recording. I normally listen to your podcast, but I was behind on the episodes until this afternoon, so I didn't get the feel for what you guys felt about the last few. Okay. But I can say, for me personally, the last few finally felt that it was A, going somewhere, and it felt more Star Trek-y to me than anything else. That said, I was really happy with this episode. I've always said that Star Trek appeals to my intellectual side, where Star Wars appears to my appeals to my emotional. I've never been choked up watching Star Trek. I just haven't. I've been intellectually stimulated by it, and I've enjoyed it. Hmm. But Star Wars has got me choked up. This was the first one that I felt an emotional connection with in the Star Trek universe. I really enjoyed it.
I must be a cold dead thing.
I'm not surprised.
I am Lore. I've been Lore all along.
So, Lore, what did you think about this episode, spoiler-free?
God, I don't even know if I can say anything spoiler-free.
So you're saying you're disappointed?
It's CBS All Access, Trek by Numbers. Tried to do way too much in that last episode, and it all felt kind of rushed, except for the 30 minutes of crying. And that's all my thoughts for that are non-spoilery.
Okay. How about yourself, Kali?
I liked it. I feel like I say that about almost every episode, though.
Except for last week. You hated last week.
I mean...
She didn't hate it. She just felt it.
I know. I'm picking.
As I say, you can't joke with me, because I'm going to go, did I really?
Let me put thoughts into your head, Holly. Ooh.
Yeah. I thought that... It developed okay for me, and it a lot of things that happened in this episode were set up in last week's episode, so it wasn't super surprising. The ending wasn't very surprising to me.
Agreed.
But, huh?
Agreed.
But I really enjoyed it. I mean, yeah, there were... I got emotional and curious, and I don't know, I guess there at the end I got kind of like, huh? But otherwise, it was pretty good.
How about you, Aaron?
I was a little emotional at certain points. I felt the ending could have been a little more... I just felt a little like... I don't know. It's hard to explain without getting spoilers, but felt like they could have gone a little further or dial it back or go all the way to insanity. And I just feel like they kind of went on this like...
They didn't do either.
Yeah, and I kind of felt there was little like, eh, you could have gone all the way to make it crazy or bring it back down to earth a little bit. But I think the heart was there behind it all, even though all the other craziness was going on. There's some interesting points to it that I liked, but I think they definitely felt, and then some really questionable choices in the end. So, which we'll get into, obviously. So that is our spoiler-free moment. If you have not seen part two of It in Arcadia Argo, please turn this episode off and watch it right away, because you should watch it. And if you have seen it or you just don't care, let's continue ahead. So like I said, this is episode 10 of season 1, the very last episode, and aired March 26 to 2020. And... we start off in the very beginning with Narek poking around the artifact. and we get him slinking in the shadows, and where we get a quick conversation between Elnor and 709, and basically he makes some stupid comment like all the XBs or XBorgs would be better off dead, and she goes, well, why don't I kill myself then? And he's like, well, then I'd miss you. So I don't know.
By the way, did you notice that the actor that plays Elnor, Evan Goria, he's Australian, and his accent was just peeking through like through half the stuff, especially in that scene. When he was speaking, he had a full on Australian accent in that scene. And I'm like, was he speaking Australian the whole time? And I realized he wasn't. He's doing a really bad job of covering it in this one, I think.
Well, because I noticed his Australian accent earlier on.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
I think it just came and went then. Maybe. I hadn't noticed it before.
He doesn't really have very many talking
points. Well, maybe that's why, too.
Yeah, that's true. But let's just say, I mean, I've seen him without the makeup. He is a beautiful man.
That is one
gorgeous-looking human being. So
I mean, I think he's gorgeous as I've seen him so far, so I don't know that I need to look at him.
If you Google him without his makeup, you'll be like, oh, my God, that guy's really good look.
Picard's housekeeper, Romulans, are Irish, so, I mean, why can't Elnor be Australian?
Fair enough.
Well, they were raised on different planets.
Maybe different parts.
Which is why they shouldn't be Irish.
Maybe different continents on Romulus have like different accents, and then the universal translator just puts them into
what the accents we're used to
on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good call. There. Good call.
That's a good theory.
I just figured it all out.
Signed, sealed, and delivered.
That's a great universal translator theory.
Yes. Otherwise, you'd be racist.
Yes.
Everybody sounded the same.
Well, so Narek is poking around, and he finds his sister, Nerissa Rizzo, and she's basically... has like a little place set up. She's in the Borg cube. Somehow she got on board, and
how'd that happen?
I don't know. They don't really say how that. But so he decides
when she beamed off, she didn't beam off the ship. She just beamed somewhere else in the ship.
I mean,
maybe she had a picnic room. I mean, a panic room.
You know, really quick, I apologize. Since I wasn't involved in the last episode, when the Borg ship fell to the planet. What are the odds? They have a 1 in 6 chance shot, I guess, because the orchids, you know, brought it down as safely as they could.
It's going to land upright.
Right. It's a 1 in 6 chance. Way. There's no up and down in space. It could have been facing any direction.
I know. I was thinking the same way.
The flowers
that's a really
are
good
smart.
Point.
And the orient-
I thought about
the
or- that too.
Maybe the flowers are smart and they oriented it the correct way before they put it down the ground.
Here you go.
Does the Borg cube, is it oriented the way, like, it doesn't have its own, like, gravity inside? Or is it built in, like, stacks? Because if it's built in stacks and they always come at their prey from above, then maybe it makes sense.
Oh, maybe the rest of the ship was upside down. Maybe. No matter what side they landed on, they'd be upright.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what, though? Throughout the whole season, you can see that the walls can shift.
Yeah, true enough.
So maybe it just, like, shifted to what they needed.
Then we go back to Picard being in house arrest, and he's got a little butterfly moment where a butterfly lands on him and flies away, and he goes, oh, lucky you got away. So... Soji comes and visits him, and we see that she uses a retinal scan, and we see that Dr. Girardi sees that, and so she kind of like takes note. And Soji comes in and talks to Picard and seeing that it's okay, and Picard's like, it'd be a lot better if I wasn't here. And she goes, you don't give us any choice. You know, we're doomed to die because of your organics. And Picard says, that's a failure of your imagination. And he's saying, you don't have to be the destroyer. You can do something else. You can change what you're doing. So, because your salvation could be the annihilation of him and all organic life. So that's how we leave it for there. And then we jump back to Narek and Nerissa, and he is getting a bunch of grenades.
It's like Jane all over again.
And he's going to try to use them against the giant orchids. And then she, he wants her, Nerissa, to get the weapons up and running. So there's a back and forth between them about being the Zad Vash, like being a disgrace to the family or something to that. But he's like, "Hey, I found
I'm the F up that found it.
Yeah, so I did. You I shut did up, all the work.
Do what
yeah.
you do.
Well, he yeah, was a Moina exactly. girl, so he couldn't join the Zad Vash. Apparently, is that what he's up about?
I don't know, but Nerik gives her a kind of like a sad look, like this is the last time I'll ever see you kind of thing, so.
But, David, isn't the male Romulan also, wasn't he previously Zad Vash?
They've never, I don't know.
Confirmed or denied?
I mean, I guess.
He seems like he is, but I mean.
But he also said he was a dropout.
Well, a washout would mean that he never connected with the.
The ring.
The admonition thing. Yeah. On
oh, I see.
So he never got to that point. So he never got that vision, but he probably still worked with the
Tal Shiar.
You know, Tal Shiar and the Zad Vash, and you know, with his sister and obviously Aunt Ramda the Romulan.
I guess I just thought that Picard's friends that he saved in Countdown, I thought they were both Zad Vash.
No, they weren't.
They were just Tal Shiar.
She was
just
saying rumors.
That's right. You're right.
And the rumors were exactly the truth. I'm like, wow. So, I just was hoping like the thing that breaks your brain was like more intense than what the rumor was, and it was just the rumor. Okay.
Well, it broke their brain because it wasn't meant for their brains. It was meant for synthetics.
Yeah. Brain pain.
Brain pain. So, so we go back to the La Sirena with Rios and Rafi. And they're trying to fix the ship, and they gave him this tool that uses imagination.
Why didn't they use that on the dead android?
I don't know.
Why didn't they use that on Picard?
Or the dead Picard?
Why didn't they use that on anything?
I don't know. I had a hard time understanding. Now we have magic tools.
I don't know if you've ever watched Critical Drinker, but I think he calls it the magical bullshit device, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
It's totally a magic.
It should be a bigger deal than they made it out to be. Oh, this could be helpful. No, this could literally change the universe.
This is for Agnes to make 30 heads of hers float around.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what this is for. That was the only reason that they brought this into the story.
They brought this into the story for Agnes emojis.
You know, honestly, it sounds even the data thing. Like to me, the fact they're making a much bigger. This series is making. A much bigger deal out of artificial life than Next Generation did, and it should have the entire time. This really, if there was an actual data, like this should have been the focus of Next Generation. If it's that big of a deal, if artificial life is that big of a deal,
yeah.
They're adding the gravitas to artificial life, the sense in this that the Next Generation should have. And that's how I feel about this magic machine they have, this little gadget. This should be a much bigger deal than they're making it out to be.
I would say.
Because aren't the Zad Vash like they've been receiving this message for like a millennia or something?
A long time.
Yeah.
Magic tool.
This tool makes me so sad. It means like we're never gonna have a Scotty really in the rest of the show because they don't even need the engineering android. They've got the magical bullshit device that'll just fix anything, unless they lose it in between seasons. Oh, I'm sure is likely.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. I don't know. I guess I like gadgets. I don't know.
it's a cool idea. It's you know, the sonic screwdriver kind of thing in a way.
That's exactly what it is, but not nearly as tongue in cheek as this is.
Yeah.
Right. The tongue screwdriver is kind of like, oh, this is fun. You know, this is like, no, this is serious. This can do anything.
So they fix it with this tool. They fix their intermix reactor, and the ship is up and running. But this is when, right after that happens, we get Nerik throwing rocks at the ship. And he says, I got these crazy-ass grenades. They'll destroy your ship. And it's like, well, how about
I'm throwing rocks, so can we talk?
Yeah. He's like, I'm trying to save the universe. So they're like, all right, let's hear what he has to say. So then we get to back to the synth village, and they're building this beacon that's going to bring in this robotic AI doomsday for all organic life and the savior for the synths. This is when Dr. Soon, Alton Soon, shows it comes into Girardi saying, this is what Maddox is working on. This is because he soon wants to transfer his body into the golem, doing basically his consciousness being transferred, yeah. which we saw in Synthoid Man in TNG.
Seems like this is very old technology because it worked great for. What's his face when he transferred?
Well, remember the data. he was on top of like that was he was on the edge of that was like Data's grandfather per se.
Yeah.
So he was like the guy who helped Soon. So this is like
it just probably took 20 years of this.
Well, I'm sure it is, and I'm sure that's what they built off of. Mm-hmm. So.
There's also been a synthetic band for how long?
Sure.
Right. Yeah. True. Yeah.
Ooh, to build a machine like that.
Yeah.
So. They're basically he's saying, well, here's a machine. I need you to kind of like go through what Maddox was working on to do the mind to the organic mind transfer to the machine. And he comments, he says, you know, the self-sacrifice, and says, you know, it's so amazing that you're going to do this, because she's going to die if this AI, you know, thing comes through this portal that they're opening with, he says, but that's what mothers do. And then she makes a comment after he leaves, like, I'm not their mother, asshole. So, and you can tell she's up to something.
You
can see that she's really scared, but she's like, really, like, she's like, you can do this. She's talking herself through to it, or talking herself up.
I could pull out all the eyeballs I want if I just use my imagination. Oh, wait, not yet.
Yeah. I did. Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Nope.
So Rios back on the ship, they're talking with Narek, and they're basically going to figure out what they're trying to talk to Picard, but they can't reach Picard, of course. They jammed all frequencies, and Narek's explaining to them what's actually happening, and he's explaining to them the idea that they're basically starting the apocalypse, you know, for all organic life. And this is where Elnor appears, and Elnor puts a sword to him, and they're like, whoa, 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 don't kill him yet. And even Narek goes, I choose to live.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So,
yeah, that's really weird that he's just attacking a guy who's, like, not doing anything harmful.
Oh, but he knows who he is, and he knows who he is.
Yeah, and basically he saw his sister kill.
He followed him from the cube as well.
Oh, yeah, so. Right. For sure.
And he saw his sister kill Hugh, so he's right. Like, got right. Shit against him.
I mean, I don't know how he knows that his sister is his sister, but
yeah, that's a good point. Has he ever seen those two together?
I don't think he has seen those two together.
Dave, you just rewatched the whole thing. Was Elnor ever in the same room with his sister and Elnor ever in the same room with Narek and Narissa?
Narek left the ship at the same time everyone else was escaping, so Elnor never saw his sister with him.
Did she say something to Elnor while she was being a cocky little see you sure next Tuesday in their fight?
I don't think so. I don't think Narek came up during the fight.
Hear a lot of clicking.
Yeah, that's a Overwatch. That's a computer.
Okay, we have cooler jet.
I don't recall her mentioning her brother to him. So I mean, like, I guess he could have been spying on them the entire time and then followed him out, but I don't know.
Mm. Right. Well, then we jump to Soon's lab, and Girardi's Girardi comes in and says, hey, I'm having trouble. There's some lockouts or something that she can't get in through. And she says, I know that's your kind of Soon's
specialty. So what did she call him? It wasn't like Jedi, but it was like, that was your like ninja expertise or something. Yeah. It was something Kung funny. Fu. Kung Fu. Yeah. Yeah.
Kung Fu. Yeah. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll help you. And there's a, and then he's like, he was having trouble getting information off the one android that I forgot her name now. The one android killed with
the Narek. One who was stabbed in the eye.
Yeah.
And we all knew it wasn't Narek.
It wasn't Narek.
I'm just saying, I knew that it wasn't him.
Yeah, no, Jeff, it was Sutra.
Yeah, you didn't listen to the last episode, but I was like, I don't think it was Narek.
She had an agenda when she went in there, so I think
it's
It was Sutra. Sutra was the one that killed her. But so
it's funny that she needed Narek to hold her down, though, because I feel like her sister would have trusted her enough to let her stab her in the eye.
I got problems with that. There's other things like that being, which we'll get into. She's having trouble. Say, could you work on her, and I'll work on the encryption thing. So
yeah, he says to keep an eye on something that's like running, like a diagnostic or something.
Yeah, because he's trying to download all her memories and to give to her sister. Then outside the La Sirena, we're getting a little campfire and they're talking, and he's Narek goes into the whole Ragnarok Judgment Day that Zadvash believe in, and he goes into the whole like mythology of it, and Rafi says, "You believe in all this?" And he goes, "I believe it already happened, and I believe that history repeats itself." So he's saying that this has happened in the past, and it'll happen again.
And it was great because he said it was before his ancestors reached Vulcan, so it totally confirms the speculation. I don't think it's been in canon; it's just been assumed that Romulans and Vulcans lived on the same planet, then they split off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's been confirmed because unification.
Oh yeah,
we know that for sure.
Okay, I just couldn't remember an episode name, for instance. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Actually, Balance of Terror. I think they said they have a common ancestry. They mentioned it too.
They did say common ancestry, but that didn't necessarily mean they lived on the same planet. I guess,
right?
Maybe, who knows?
You know, it's funny. Right. It's something I've always known, and I don't know if it was because of a specific episode or not. I don't know why. I always assume that to be the case. I'm sure I heard it somewhere.
Well, and there's a two-parter in TNG called Unification 1 and 2 where Spock is trying to bring peace between the Romulans and Vulcans, which didn't work out too well.
My brothers, pizza. This is the basis of our peace.
And then we get the Romulan fleet flying in, with Commodore O now in charge, so somehow she jumped ship from Earth, and now she's in charge of a whole fleet.
That means she's got a lot of confidence this is going to work. She just blew her Starfleet career.
Right, yeah. Right out of the water.
And, you know, like, I was like, why would she be the one in charge of the whole fleet? Wouldn't it be somebody else?
Because she's a character we know, and they don't want to introduce new characters.
Well, no, but you remember in the visions, she was like the one to lead the others to the ring thing. So like she's the leader.
That was on her shore leave 12 years ago.
Either way, she's the leader of this cult.
The way she,
and so of course she would be the head of it. She would be the lead ship, the flagship.
The way she does peace and relaxation is she brings a bunch of Zadvash initiates to a ring and watches them murder themselves. It's great. It's great. So relaxing.
You would think that they'd have someone that, I mean, she's been undercover basically for how many years now? You think they have someone that's been a little more hands-on?
At least 20.
Right.
Because she had to work her way up to Commodore. You got to remember,
too, though, all through this season, the Federation has been telling Picard he's a kook and he's an old man and he's a piece of shit, so she probably did not think they would take him seriously.
I think Clancy needs to look in the mirror.
Clancy. Yeah, right.
She's an old looking kook too, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but she's still got the pins on her shirt, so she still can make the rules. So they hatch a plan where they're going to Rios, Rafi, Elnor and Narek are going to go back to the synth's outpost village or whatever you want to call it, and they're going to bring the grenades, and they're going to basically try to blow up the beacon tower that they're building, and they're going to hide it in one of the soccer balls. So when they show up, the guards stop them, and they they give all their weapons up at the gate or whatever. And inside the soccer ball, he still has it. And they're like, oh, do you play? He goes, oh, I love this game. You know, so.
And, I'm, and it was so kicks funny it around. Kicked it around. I'm like,
you idiot.
when can then be now?
So, and then we get Girardi has taken the android's eyeball, Saga's eyeball
her
that was killed.
Eye.
Saga. Yeah. That's her name.
And she uses it to get into Picard's quarters, and she basically gets Picard out. At the same time, Alton soon goes back and sees what happened to Saga, and then he sees Saga's memories and the monitor and sees that Sutra had killed her. And so he's like, oh, shit, I made a big mistake. Sutra had some evil intentions, so
right,
it's not as innocent as he thought. So as Rios and Rafi and Elnor and are all like kind of like getting ready to make their move, they're talking about how they what they have to do, and Soon joins them. So he's basically like he sees them or somehow finds them, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna help you guys. Get this thing taken care of, get rid of this beacon.
Right.
And then back at the La Sirena, Picard and Dr. Girardi go there, and they decide they're going to take the ship and they're going to try to stop the Romulans. And Girardi's a little bit like, what are we going to do? So,
yeah.
And so anyway, so they're getting ready to, they do their take off, and she says, I have to get through to Soji that, you know, building this beacon and becoming the destroyer is not what she wants to do. And he says, even though, Girardi says something like, they're light years, generations ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And he says, yes, but they're still like children. And he says,
so we how do we teach children by showing them?
In 6.5 minutes or whatever, 6 minutes and 11 seconds, or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, and so how do we do that? And he says, by showing them by example. So,
which at that point I was like, okay, what's he going to do? Is he going to, first of all, sacrifice was not on the table for me. I was like, he's not, I didn't even think about that. I was right. Like, okay, what is he going to do that's going to show her that every life matters? And like, I couldn't fathom what he was going to do. So I was like, right. He's just going to go up there and talk to him? Like, that's a very Picard thing to try to do.
He hoped, but it wasn't going to work that way.
So I'm. It's funny that I didn't even consider that he would just be going up there to die.
Yeah.
But I thought that was poetic, I guess, when he called her and he was like, I give you my life. And I went, what?
He should have gone to a chateau to die, his chateau room.
Yeah,
can I pilot from here? I've been waiting here to die. Like you said in the first episode, right?
I know.
Bring it full circle.
He needs to die being a captain, living on a chateau.
That's right. So back at this, since
fly their own ships
when they
have to.
Well, I mean, when you got a little rinky dink crew, you might have to.
I don't know. I was just saying there were a couple of pirate movies I had thought about where like the pirate gets an ego boost and he goes and stands in front of the wheel and he's like, this is my ship, and then the pilot like rolls their eyes.
And I like that they I think they did it in the last episode, which what they call back to this is that Picard, he's been not keeping up with technology because he's been living in a vineyard, so he does not know how to use, like, he's your grandpa trying to use your iPad.
Right.
Yeah, there's that funny scene.
But he did
scene.
Really
I think,
well.
Yeah, I think three or four episodes back where he goes, I don't know how to work this.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, apparently he said he's been watching Rios pilot it, so he's got an idea.
So for writing, that worked out. You know, they built a couple of things into the past episodes.
Yeah, no.
A couple of things. Not any big things. Little things.
Back at the Synth Village, we have Soji is kind of like building the transmitter. And this is when Soon confronts Sutra. And he says, oh, you left the brooch. I thought I'd give this back to you. And he's like, you're no better than we are. And he kind of like has this button to deactivate.
Like, off button's not in your butthole like Data's was. Aww.
Butthole?
Well,
yeah.
Data's was in his butthole. I don't think it was his butthole.
That looked like it.
That's a very old joke from probably episode 4 or something.
Is that like a male prostate joke thing?
No, like literally when they show them like turn Data off, they reach up his behind. It's like it's pretty funny.
It was always a
Was he naked or clothed? Because he could have been reaching under his clothes.
Anyways.
It was his backside. His off switch was on his backside. And like he also made a joke. He's like, I appreciate you not telling people where that is. To the, I think the Dr. Crusher, whoever, knew where it was.
Regardless of whether he was ashamed of where it was, he could have just been thankful that nobody else knew that he had an off switch.
Well, so
just being the voice of the reason here.
At least Dr. Soon has a remote control, so he knows what to do. Now. Right. He doesn't have to actually touch them. So he shuts her off, and he gives her a nod, like, "Okay, you guys can."
Can I intervene for a second?
Move into action here, and they go into it, and they start beating up the synths. Now this is where I have problems, because the synths would throw them around like rag dolls.
Oh, they totally would.
After they establish Soji is basically like Captain America in the first episode, makes no sense.
But I mean,
were they built without you don't have to jump ahead, but they make a comment to Picard later on, there's no upgrades. Do these not have upgrades? Were these ones that maybe they laid off the upgrades after?
It's possible, but why would you make yourself weaker if you could still be just as strong? Data was, you know, like super strong, super fast.
Right.
Naked.
It would make no sense. And so I was like, come on, guys. They would have to come up with a better. Anyway, so there's a fight that ensues. And Rios gets the grenade from the soccer ball and he throws it. And Soji just catches it right in her hand.
She does way better than Lol. Oh my goodness, she can catch.
Yeah, she does. So that was not what Rios intended. So, anyways.
Then she throws it into space.
Yeah, she throws it up in the air really high. So Soji has the strength to throw it up, you know, at least a good, you know, a couple thousand feet up in the air where it wouldn't affect anybody. So, and basically they're all captured and stopped. Their crew. From there, Picard and Girardi, they're basically going to stop the 218 warbirds that come in, and but Picard's basically Girardi wants to know what it is, what Picard's plan, and he goes, "I'm just trying to fly the ship right now." So that was the funny part there, and then we go up to Narissa on the artifact, and she gets in a fight with Seven of Nine because she is aiming her
at La Serena.
And they have a big fist fight right there.
And Narissa gets the best line she's had the entire season. I wish Narissa had more one-liners like this, because it was amazing. Poor little Seven, she turned 6, and all she got was assimilated. I was like, oh my god. Best line. This is the best line of the entire show.
I didn't like it.
I loved it.
That's a good burn.
I relished it. It was amazing. I feel bad for Seven, but still, it's such a good burn. It's such a great line. It's the best thing she said all season.
Yeah, but why does she know that about?
I thought the same thing.
She was on the Borg artifact. She probably had lots of Borg info to read about.
She wasn't on the artifact. She was on planet Earth working for O.
O probably knows about Annika too, because she's a Venris Ranger. The Starfleet security's got to know about what they're doing, I'm sure.
She's also kind of. It seems like she's kind of well known.
Well, yeah, I guess. I didn't like it.
Both Rios and Raffi were like, oh, she's that XB or whatever. You know, she's the famous Venerous Ranger X-Borg from Quadrant. I mean, she is infamous, if anything. So I'm sure Head of Federation knows. So Head of Federation, you know. And also, she busted up the joint when she saved Elnor, so she probably did her research in between.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, and then the Romulan fleet comes in, and they are ready to wipe out the planet. So they're ready to go. And can I say, I just think the Romulan warbirds are so bereft of imagination. I hated how they look.
They look like modified Cylon Raiders. They don't look very good at all.
I mean, why couldn't they go back to TNG or?
They look like new Star Trek, which I designs, which I'm not super crazy about.
It's just kind of boring.
Have I not been paying attention? When did they come to such an abrupt stop when they come out of warp? Has that always been a thing?
I've only seen that in the JJ reboots.
JJ reboots, Discovery, and now this.
I feel like it doesn't really make sense in space, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, it sort of does, because you're not, when you're using warp speed, you're not moving. You're condensing and contracting space around you.
That's true. So you're just going from one spot to the other,
so,
really.
So once you stop the compression and expansion of space, you would just stop.
Well, that's true.
You're not using regular like impulse engines. You wouldn't just stop. You have to slow down,
right?
Because you're using whatever force, nuclear force, to push out whatever to make your ship go forward. But in warp drive, you're not using a propellant.
That's true. Good point. I stand corrected.
I mean, unless it's a the Romulan ship worked differently, but same idea for warp, though.
Well, going back to your design, they don't look like birds of prey anymore.
No, they just don't look interesting.
No.
And the Dyrodex design in TNG was amazing. And then even in Nemesis, they had those really cool, like, half the Dyrodex cruisers where they didn't have the bottom part. But these just look like, I don't know, they're so boring compared to. I don't know if they're letting the designers design things cool or if they're, like, designed by committee. I mean, Trek Yard seems to think that a lot of the designs are kind of designed by committee and they're not letting people do what they want, because also the Federation fleet leaves a lot to be desired too.
I agree.
They said it was one ship with just three different kit bashes, basically.
Well, I mean, in this episode, there was how many hundreds of ships on screen at a time? How much it's a television show. How much time and energy are they putting into designing multiple ships?
Did you watch Deep Space Nine? They invented tons of new ships for their, like, giant fleet battles, and they looked amazing because there was like 30 different ships on screen at any given time.
Right. Yeah.
And this is a lot higher budget than Deep Space Nine.
They did it for Discovery, too. I mean, the battle at the Binary Stars, there were a ton of different ships.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we jump back to the Borg cube artifact, and the fight goes on between Seven and Nerissa, and this is where she kicks her off one of the edges and says, "This is for Hugh." So,
how to do the same thing.
It was a great scene, and I was so happy to see Nerissa die.
And apparently, Narek feels his sister die, and he commits suicide because we never see him again the rest of the episode.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah, because he's going to show up as the boyfriend of Soji, like, what's his name? Ash Tyler will show up again for Michael Burnham.
We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see him again.
He might be staying on the planet to be amongst them because, like I said, I think he may genuinely have been fascinated by
Soji. He has a fetish.
A fetish, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether it's that or a genuine interest or scientifically curious, I don't know.
I honestly think they're going to be like a evil, like a Team Rocket kind of thing with, it'll be Narek and Sutra. Yeah.
It's got to be, because Sutra's definitely dripping lore vibes.
And yes, that was a Pokemon reference, guys.
I was like, the only thing I can think of is maybe it's those two people in the white with the pink hair.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's how much I know about Pokemon.
Yeah.
Come on. Anyways.
I have almost 300 hours in Pokemon Shield.
You know how many I have?
Negative 20.
Zero.
I play with my kids, but I have watched enough Pokemon to know what Team Rocket is. Anyways, we jump up above the planet, and the fight between the Romulan ships and the Orchids are coming up, and there's lots of firefight going on. And this is when Girardi brings up the Picard maneuver, And Picard's like, that's never going to work. There's too many ships. And I don't know why this was even brought up.
It was really funny because when we were and I was watching the scene with Kaylee, she says, didn't you do that on the Enterprise or something? And I said, no, the Stargazer. And Kaylee's like, oh, my God, why do you know that? I'm like, because I do.
Because I know much things.
I drink and I know things about Star Trek.
Yeah, I drink and I know things, right. Soji's still working on yes.
Agnes was not there when they were given the device to fix the ship. So, like, Rios, you know, before they left the ship, they put it on top of the console and she was just sitting there and she kind of picks it up and she's kind of, like, theorizing. However, but she's like, she's holding on to it and she's making all these thoughts. And then when she looks at Picard, she's like, already got the idea. And like, they don't know how that device worked.
Apparently you don't. There's no trigger or anything for it. So you just have to just start thinking and it'll like read your thoughts. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. But
she didn't even have that same conversation that we saw earlier where they were all trying to figure it out. At least.
Exactly.
She's just like, this all works.
Yeah,
this is 90% of the script writing for the entire show, guys. It's been pretty bad.
The script was fine. They had, but if she was going to hold it and think about it, she shouldn't have acted like she had this brilliant idea, and then all of a sudden, like 30 of her little emojis popped up all around the world. But she should have just been like theorizing and like looking away, and then Picard's like, "I think I got it." You know what I mean? Like
the device told her how to use it because it needed to happen.
Well, and maybe the device is somehow telepathic as well. I don't know how that works, but
I mean that's a thought.
The device is also Vulcan, and it could send messages to you.
Yeah,
just like it's freaking magic. You can do whatever it wants.
It's freaking magic, okay.
So Soji is working on the transmitter, and this is when Picard calls and says, "Hey, you need to turn this thing off." And says it's important, you know, obviously you don't want to be what they think you are. And he says, I'm going to give my life for your cause. And then Soji's, I was like, what? What the hell is that about?
He doesn't necessarily say for your cause.
Well, not for your cause, but basically says, to
I give my life to you. Right. You need to make the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave her pause. So she's like, wait, what?
And this is when Dr. Girardi's idea, Agnes's idea, comes in play. She makes a different versions of the La Sirena, and it makes it look like there's 100 of them. And the Romulan ships are more distracted than them instead of wiping out the planet. And basically it buys them time until they finally hit. They're shooting at all the ships that aren't existing, and finally they hit the Picard's real ship, and it spins out of control. So it doesn't work out well. It only works for a little bit, but just enough for the Federation ships to show up. So, and this is where we get Will Riker came out of retirement. Holly, just like you said.
The second he said that he's still in reserve, I'm like, we're going to see him in the last episode.
Right.
Holly called it. I was really thinking that would not happen, but apparently it did.
Could they have got him a better fitting uniform at least? Because it didn't seem like it fit him at all.
It did. The snit looked a little slapdash. But
yeah, it did.
You think it looked a little baggy or what?
Yeah, it just was ill-fitting.
Oh, I see. I don't know. I attributed it to he was kind of sitting literally cockily. Foster.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of like he had one arm up and one arm down, and he's like, try me, bitch.
Well, that Discovery chair isn't very comfortable looking. But the scene bothered me a lot. I mean, I love seeing Riker, but like all of a sudden, why is the Enterprise not the flagship of the Federation?
We established where the Enterprise is at this point, though.
We don't know.
Yeah,
it might be not in commission any longer. We don't know.
The
Enterprise F is in commission.
It is.
It's mentioned in the comics.
Yeah,
but where could they have gotten there in the time that they needed?
Well, yeah, but usually the flag isn't it the flagship just usually one ship of the entire fleet?
Is it still the flagship though?
No, but I mean they said it's been for over 100 years.
But he also said he was in the baddiest ass ship in the fleet. So
yeah. So, anyways, he basically says. Yeah, he basically says the planet here is under protection of the Federation, and you got to get out of here. And basically, he said,
"I know who you are, so and so. Oh, whatever you're calling yourself these days."
Yeah, he says, "Give me an excuse to kick your treacherous Talshiar ass." So,
yeah. Another fun, exciting moment of cursing on Picard.
I will say this, though. Riker showing up to save the day was not nearly as exciting as it was in All Good Things.
Yeah.
When he shows up, because that was one of my favorite moments of the entire run of the series was Riker showing up.
It had the giant super laser on it. That was amazing.
Yeah, and the Enterprise had like four nacelles, and it was awesome. This wasn't quite as exciting as that, but it was still pretty cool.
At this point, Picard, his health is failing him, and his brain pains kick back into gear, and he asked Girardi to give him some medicine to get him through. And she's like, "Well, you know, you're no condition to do anything." He's like, "I just need to get through." And says, "Whatever's going to happen is going to happen."
I don't know. He said it'll only hasten the inevitable, right. And I was like, "Wait, hasten means to?
It's going to speed it up,
quicken."
Yeah.
So why? Why administer something that would quicken the inevitable?
Because he knew he was going to die, no matter what.
Right, but he only needed to say goodbye. That's all he needed. I mean, maybe that's also the same reason why he did something that would hasten it. So I don't know.
He needed to be at top working order, and I guess whatever adrenaline or whatever she gave Picard. So she shoots him up. She shoots him up. And he's up and running in a few minutes, and then he calls Soji and basically saying, don't be what the Romulans think you're going to be. And she says, "Well, the Federation banned us and our kind, and it's like, we can't trust the Federation." He goes, if you couldn't trust the Federation, we wouldn't be here defending you right now. So, you have to close this portal. Yeah. We do see the portal open. It looks very similar to what we saw in
Discovery. The control tentacles. AI.
Yeah.
The future control AI. It looks exactly like the little tentacles that come out.
So This is obviously tying into Discovery, and somehow I think it's going to tie into season 3 somehow. Oh,
absolutely.
I'm not sure.
It will. I'm sure of it.
Discovery. So I'm not entirely certain, but it seems like it's going to. So this convinces Soji, and she takes down the transmitter controls, and the beacon's destroyed. So, and the portal closes back up.
But these are the most advanced alien race that's been around for hundreds of thousands of years. Once the call is made, why do they need a less advanced race to hold the door open for them? They know the space and time where they're needed, so they can just, why don't they just reopen the hole and come through?
Why would they know the space and time?
Because the door was open. They can see it. I mean, It's
knowing the future doesn't mean you know where the door is or when the door is.
They saw the door. They were moving toward the door. They could see the space and time they were needed. They should have just been able to reopen the hole on their own.
It does make the point that there should be, unless they're in some different part of space and they just can't make it there fast enough. So.
That's what I mean. I assume they're really friggin' far. And even with a portal like that, it may have taken some time to them or them to reach there. I don't know.
But it just seemed like it opened up a hole in like a portal. I mean, like, why can't they open up? Like I said, they're just...
Why can't they open up their own door?
I mean, they saw the door open. They got the phone call. They could read the coordinates from the phone call. Why don't they... They don't have caller ID with super space in the future for a race like that's been around like 200,000 years. It's just like... You know, Picard was talking about lacking imagination. I think the writers are also lacking on some imagination. I'm like, okay.
Well, maybe they just don't have that skill. Maybe they don't have imagination, and they gave him the
blueprints basically on how to open that portal. You know, that's was part of that what's it called, the
code?
I forgot.
Admonition. What they're called.
Admonition, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it was to make the phone call. It just seems like you make the call and they come. Like they didn't say anything about a portal, and like I don't know, it just seems like they should.
It would have made more sense if she hadn't actually got it started.
Yes.
And yeah. convince her to do to stop before she finished.
That would have been fine. But the fact that it opened, it just opens up. It opens up a can of worms, and they look like kind of worms and tentacles and whatnot. So it just odd choice they made. I mean, maybe the door's open. Maybe they'll come back. Maybe there'll be a slow coming enemy like the Borg. I don't know. I was asking if you thought that was the case.
I think the super synths or whatever they're called will be the new Borg, in my opinion.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. So after that, Riker basically tells the Romulan fleet to get out of here, and so they take off. And then we have a last call between Picard and Riker, and he's like, what, are they going to sit in the woods making pizza? And says, yeah, he had an SOS, and he decided he was going to, you know, to help out. So Picard thanks him for always having his back, and Riker says, I'll leave it in your capable hands. So, and they all leave. So I thought there should have been one Federation ship since this is first contact, and Picard's not officially Starfleet.
No.
No, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Anyways, so they all take off.
I thought it was weird that they would have taken off first of all.
So I thought it was weird.
Well, yeah, I know that they're about to escort them out of the space, but Picard knows he's dying.
Yeah, wouldn't you just leave at least one Federation ship just in orbit?
If anything, there should be some sort of debriefing, I would think.
Yeah.
Something?
No, it'll be fine.
But, like, if he dies, that planet has no ambassador. He's got no protection. So, he should have said something.
Right.
Am I wrong?
I would have said something. I would have been like, you need to get me to your sickbay. So, after the whole fleet warps out of the system... And Picard falls to the floor, and obviously he's dying because of his brain issues. And this is when Soji calls, and or Soji sees it somehow. It's being broadcast, and
she pressed the button to bring up his
feed.
Oh, did she? And then so Soji beams Girardi and Picard down to the planet side, and this is where Picard dies. So. Very sad moment, and I thought it was well acted, very well done. So
yeah,
He looked terrible. He looked like a man awful. Dying.
He did look a little more fragile than he typically does.
So the next scene we have Rios and Seven and Nine are drinking some awful alcohol and
some pearl dust in Mountain Dew.
Mountain
Dew.
So they're drinking and they're talking about just what's going on between them, and like basically Rios feels upset that he let another self-righteous hard-ass old starship captain get into his heart
and die.
And Seven was like, she was feeling bad because she was killing people she felt would deserve it, and it just felt wrong for them to be alive. So,
yeah, she felt bad for killing Cuntface, whatever her name was.
Yeah,
she is a nice. Okay, I'm sorry, actress who plays her. You have a nice face. I was just your character sucks.
Your character was not a good character. Yeah. So they're together, and then Elnor goes to Rafi, and he has a moment where he just starts crying because he's obviously upset of Picard's death. So I think everything here is wonderfully acted. Right. And then we're back to Picard is in some weird world that looks like Chateau Picard, but it's different. It's everything's grayed out, and he's there with Data.
I liked it.
Yeah, he's there with Data, and they have a conversation, and he says that this is a quantum simulation. This isn't, you know, but he is dead, and he explains basically that they were able to scan his brain or his memories into some substrates, so they could bring him back to life, and this is what we go into this whole thing of how. The exchange between Data and Picard, and how Data sacrificed his life during Nemesis, and how Picard sacrificed his life for Soji in the sense, and how they're very, very similar in certain ways on those things, and that Picard has a love for Data, and that, you know, it's good that Data knows this now. And then Data says,
but it was more that it was more for Picard that he knew that Data knew, whether it was said or not. Data knew that he loved him, and it was really more of a release for Picard, not for Data.
Oh yeah, Data. You know, it's Data's Data. You know, it's not, that's not going to affect Data one way or the other, other than he knows it now. And then Data asked that if he could you basically turn off the machine that's holding his consciousness, because he wants to be wants to die, because that's what it is to be human, that all right. things are temporary and he should die. So Picard exit this quantum simulation, and now he wakes up and he has taken form through that golem that they were
putting,
that Dr. Soon was putting together. And we find out that basically they set him so he'd only live not even 10 years, I think.
6 months.
Well, he's 94.
I know, but this is the future, too, so people do live a little bit longer.
I think Bones was like 120-something when he toured the Enterprise. Right.
He was like 107 or something like that, was that, or somewhere. Yeah, he's older. Maybe it was 120-something. Well, we know the lifespan is longer, so he's got another maybe 20 years.
He said he could have. It would have been nice if he gave me 20 years. It would have been nice.
And it went an additional 10 or 20 years. So,
but he doesn't have any superpowers, or he's not super strong. He's just basically.
And disappointing of all, he's not in a woman's body.
Most disappointing of all, they still made him to his former self. They didn't like even make him to his younger self. So
I was not disappointed in that.
Well, Tsuji even said, "Well, we didn't want to, you know, startle you too much or make it too much things for you to get used to." Oh,
old man Picard can't take this little jump start.
No,
of that, but he values life and he values death.
Well, if he valued death, he should have died.
Well, that's right, but it wasn't his choice. They brought him back. He was good with dying. He was good with it. I mean, he makes the comment like, "I could have used another 10, 20 years," but. You know, another Doctor Who thing. There's a quote at the end of Silence in the Library, the episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, great.
And it's like, you know, death gives us size. Death makes life matter.
Yeah.
And that's very Picard.
Yeah, it's an awesome.
Yes, going back to that scene with Picard and Data, I think that was the most Star Trek-y scene, I think, in terms of the character relationships with each other that I think we've seen in a while. I loved that scene.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it felt the most Star Trek out of anything in this show from a character relating to each other point of view. It's a very Picard-Data conversation.
Right.
And just to go back to McCoy's age, he was 137 years old.
Okay.
In Encounter at Farpoint. So Picard still has like 40 years to live, theoretically.
Right. I never realized how good of a makeup they had. Because Brent Spiner's not young. And when he looks at Data, when he's Soon, he looks like him. He's old.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's old. And when they show him his Data, I'm like, they do a pretty good job of making him look like Data again.
Yeah, he's just a little thicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Picard says he's got a promise to keep, and this is where he pulls the memory chips out for Data and basically shuts him off.
Terminates him.
And where Soji sings Blue Skies.
Yes, I don't know if you guys know.
Soji doesn't sing it.
She does. So the
actress does sing it.
She's a Broadway actress. She's in Hamilton.
Yeah, it's incredible. There's a great video. We'll have to send.
So she sings the track.
She sings the track. Okay. She's not singing.
All right, look it, guys. I'm a little. The character's not. I'm the a little bit literal. I was like, no, that did not happen.
No, it's actually a cool video.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Blue Skies plays, and we see Picard there sitting next to Data as he slowly becomes old, and then they just kind of wisp into like the air, so they disintegrate. So
it was a good death.
It was a good death. So
it wasn't being impaled by rebar.
That's the ideal way for Holly to die, as she has pointed out to us when we talked about the Matrix trilogy.
Life. It's out of context, people. It's out of context.
Yeah, the Trinity dies. Yeah. Then we jump back to La Sirena, and they see we see the crew all together, and we see Dr. Girardi and kiss Rios, and so we know they're together.
Hey, honey, I don't mind that you're a murderer.
Yeah. You killed your ex-boyfriend.
Did she atone? Yeah. Did she end up atoning for her sins? Did they forgive her?
They forgive her for remembering the Picard maneuver.
What atonement?
Here's the thing. Why would you get involved with someone that just killed her ex-boyfriend? Right. How can you trust her not to kill you?
Exactly. Well, also, think about it, though. The signal that was sent by the AI corrupts human minds.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean...
I'm really quick, too, about going back to that. I was a little disappointed because every time they show her flash in her head of what she saw, it's just a lot of quick edits of the, you know, the apocalypse, whatever. And then when they show the actual the version that the synths can understand, wasn't a whole lot different.
Yeah. But they were like, let's do this shit.
It was just a less MTV editing version of it.
So the crew's all together, and Soji decides he's going to join them. Seven of Nine seems to be in some kind of relationship with Rafi now.
Yes, they are. It was confirmed by Michael Chabon off on the internet somewhere, because Michael Chabon doesn't answer his questions in the show. He does it on the internet.
It can't be a full blown relationship at this point. So it bothers me that he said this live or online, because we have a glimpse of a budding relationship.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they were just like, hey, girl.
I mean, they're holding hands. That to me is a little more than, like, if you had given a couple glances, like a wink, something, a brush the shoulder at some point in the series, it would have made.
I would have loved flirting or some beginning of relationship. Was there was nothing unless Seven really, really, really liked the way she Rafi put the handcuffs on her in Startup City Rag. It was literally their only interaction in the entire show until this point.
You're right.
I kind of felt it was a little cheesy how they all look at Picard to say engage. I was like, all right, come on.
Well, We need an order, whether it's engage or make it so.
We know what's coming. They don't. I don't think they were just waiting for some sort of order. I think.
Yeah.
Well, and that's how the the season ends, and so they take off into the distance. So obviously, we're going to get this crew back again.
Which I like this crew. I like this too. Cast together. I think it's a nice ensemble. There's honestly a lot less variety than we've seen in other past Star Trek casts and crews. There's no one of color outside of, well, I mean, I guess
Rafi is
half. In real life, I think she's half. Okay. She's mixed. But that's really about it. There's no
Rios is Spanish and Soji is Asian-ish.
Yeah, they're all like halves.
Is that why she's so attractive?
Soji's half Asian, I think.
She has like Mongolian features, which is kind of like
Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan. She doesn't have yellow eyes. Sorry, that was like a stupid Mulan joke. But
that's why they took them out, so she could play Sutra. Duh.
Yeah.
No, but she has she's a flat face, and you guys know me, Jeff. You've not seen me from the side, but I have a very flat face. It's a Mongolian feature.
You from the side, no.
It's a very Mongolian feature: big eyes and like a flat forehead with like protruding cheekbones, but they're very flat, and so like when you're from the side, like your nose really is the only thing that protrudes. She has very Mongolian features, similar to the Mongolian features that I have. So I'm just saying, we're pretty.
It's still the least. I don't know. Star Trek's always had very, you know, a lot of representation from not just within races, but around the galaxy as well. Not much this time around, but.
Well, she's from London. That's where. Was it?
I'm from the United States. I'm also Mongolian here.
Don't forget, Elnor's from the Ye Olde Australia.
Right.
Good eye. Good eye. Hey, Bruce. That's the end of that season. Jeff, how did you feel about this episode? How did you feel about Picard season one?
We've discussed this in the past. You've discussed this in the past. It started off considerably slow, much slower than it should have. The first four episodes probably could have been two. I think Holly's point earlier, this episode probably could have been paced a little better as well because it was kind of crammed in, I think. I think overall the pacing of the season was not ideal. They could have easily pushed the first couple episodes into a couple and expanded these last few out, I think, a little bit, but I still think it ended really strong. I was happy with it.
And a season overall, you just thought it with pacing was off, and then...
that was my biggest. I mean, we've obviously done a diligent job of pointing out the plot holes, which. Yeah. Doesn't take much to fix. I don't think a lot of them were simple. A line or two could have resolved a lot of them. It reminds me of the last Star Wars trilogy, because while I was aware that the Last Jedi was two movies crammed into one and it was a lot of fan service, I didn't mind it. And that's how I kind of felt about this season overall. I had a lot of issues with it, but I enjoyed it enough that I was able to overcome them.
Gotcha. How about we go to Dave? Dave, I know you're going to have a lot to say.
When do I ever have anything to say about Star Trek? You're kind of describing Aaron and the non-spoiler thing. It just kind of felt hollow. And I mean, like, you didn't say hollow, but I mean, it's hollow seemed the way you're describing it from my perspective. And my perspective is it did end up very hollow. It just feels like instead of a show about Picard, this was a 10-hour send-off for Data. More than anything else,
you're right.
The ending undermined the entire everything else that happened in the show, and it's just kind of like, could we have done this in like an episode or two, and then like done the destroyer angle with the Star Trek Reapers and all this stuff? Like that's exciting. Like I don't know, it felt like too little material stretched over way too many episodes. And then it just feels like a send-off for Data instead of like a Picard show.
I guess I don't understand what you mean, but with reference to Data, I don't understand.
Well, because the show starts with Data, and all the dreams Picard has of him, and then it ends with Data, it being a send-off for him. And like Shaban has said that we're trying to do a send-off for Data because he didn't get to do a proper send-off because he just dies suddenly at the end of Nemesis. And Brent Spiner's like, I'll never play Data again, you know. And then he did just to have the Data send-off. It seemed like it was more written for Data in particular than Picard in particular.
I disagree. I think Picard didn't get to say goodbye, and he carried this guilt with him for a long time, and he finally finds a way to say goodbye. Now, granted, Data didn't have to say, I'd like you to turn me off. I'd like you to cease and desist.
There's just so many.
It was more about Picard. I think it really was more about, because Picard's face lights up when he's told by Data, I knew you loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's all about Picard. And you know, I love the intro to the show, and you know, the sky is falling and the vineyard and the cube and eyes that turn into cybernetic eyes and you know, everything, all these little bits of this intro piece him together. I think it was all about Picard. I don't think it was about Data.
I mean, just Picard had such a backseat in a lot of the stuff. He just kind of was swept along with all the stuff that was happening. And I don't know, he just didn't seem like he had a very big part in his own show.
You know, I feel that I think you're both right. I think the Data-Picard relationship was a slow build over the course of the series. And it never really got resolved because of his abrupt death. And Spiner's been very vocal about how unhappy he was about how he died. So I think this was a nice opportunity for both of the characters. And again, this is only the first season. I mean, we know we're at least getting another one, assuming that Hollywood starts again.
That's a big assumption at this point.
Right.
And that we don't lose any of our key actors due to the evil virus that's happening right now.
Also, you know, I never even thought about that. So this is only the first season. So it's no longer about Data at this point from here on in. This was just the story arc for this first season. So...
Yeah, it just seemed like too little material for the amount of episodes that they were stretching it out of. And, like, there's so many unanswered questions. And like you said, a lot of them could have been resolved in a single line. And right. Yet they don't resolve any of it. And it's just so much waiting for stuff to start happening. And it starts to happen. Because, like, episode 9, it seems like what Guy was saying to us last week, it's like they ramp things up from a 5 of, like, urgency to a 15 in a single episode. And they brought it back down to 0. With no fanfare, and it was just like, what? Why? It just, I don't know, it's just felt hollow. It's just like they bring this giant catastrophe up, and it's like, oh, we're just going to ignore it. We're just going to make it go away. Even though the phone call was made, it just seems like that's all you would need is the phone call, then death comes. I mean, I don't know, making them have to... hold the portal open for that to come seemed kind of weird. It just seemed super anticlimactic as a whole. And I don't know. And I just, I mean, I really wanted Q because Q is as important or more important to Picard's story as Data, because Q was there in Encounter Farpoint and Q was there in All Good Things. And he bookended Next Generation in such a beautiful way. And Q is such a important part of Picard. I don't know. I think
I mentioned this earlier on, one of my earlier appearances on your fine show, that I think Q got silly, and that I think he became, with the exception of All Good Things, he became less important to the show. And to me, he always kind of seems like magic, even though they explain away the science of it. He seems like magic to me, and this seems like a much more grounded, more science-based.
What about the magical bullshit device that fixes everything?
Until this episode. Until this episode.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure, but I don't know. It just, this episode just, I don't know, just I just felt like it ended kind of with a thud. Like, there was no, the only cliffhanger is like, okay, I guess maybe next season will feel more Star Trek. But that's not really a cliffhanger. I just was hoping the threat would be unresolved and that there'd be something like, oh shit, that we have to look forward to next season.
I would have liked to have seen, going back to my theory that the super synths, whatever they're called, were going to be a new threat, and that this beacon was almost the Encounter at Farpoint of, hey, we've just unleashed the Borg. So I thought maybe that would end the episode with them saying, okay, well, we're on our way, you know, like they're the new threat. But that did not happen, obviously.
I mean, yeah, I mean, there should have just been something as like some kind of hint of where we're going next season. And it just ends on like a thud, and it's kind of disappointing. Right. And I mean, that's just mostly my thoughts for this season. I did go back and rewatch the series, and I wrote down a lot of just random thoughts. So just like I was just writing down stream of conscious, like as I was watching the season over again.
Like, any standout moments?
Like, how do the Romulans know about the activation?
Activation of what? Oh, so, the
Dash. Right. Why do they, like, apparently those are the only two that activate, so why would they know there's any kind of activation? Why ask questions to Dodge, then knock the wind out of her so she can't answer you? Why doesn't activation give Dodge back her memories like it did to Soji?
It doesn't give her, didn't give Dodge all of her memories, and Dodge only knew certain things. It was slowly, and so was Soji's. Soji's were
As soon as the attack was over, Dodge saw Picard, and then she's then like, as soon as the attack was over for Soji, she didn't see Picard.
Like, right,
that's true.
Yeah, she didn't even trust him.
Their experiences were different, and
they're clones. They have the same information built into them.
You're correct. I think that they react differently. You know, Soji was
lived longer by a couple reacting. Days.
No, Soji. Yeah, she did. But Soji was more scientific. She was more got to figure this out. And Dodge, while she was also scientifically inclined, she was more reactive. You know, granted, she was triggered very abruptly. So that could have been an overload on the system. That could have been something else. Dodge was...
I think they were both triggered fairly abruptly.
Red flag. Oh, it's fine. Red flag. Oh, it's okay. And then it was like, it wasn't even that she was, I don't think Soji was ever actually triggered because you don't even see her visually see her mom ever again. I don't think she was necessarily triggered or activated or whatever. I think they specifically said in the episode she was activated.
Picard and Hugh say that she's activated.
They're assuming that she's activated.
Because she's moving way faster than a human should, so she's activated.
Right.
She knows she's
right. However, that was out of necessity. That wasn't necessarily out of... She didn't hit the floor and go, I don't know what just happened. But when she ran from her apartment and she's trying to talk to her mom, she doesn't know, you know, what happened. And she's trying to understand. Also, her mom didn't shut her fucking down every time she saw her, so they're clearly different.
Well, just different situations, but still, like, their activation should have been similar. They're like clones of each other.
I would have thought we were getting a lot of more of the, hey, my life is fake. Like, she mentioned it a few times, but she's like, my family was not real. Like, that should have a little more of a lasting effect on someone, I would think. Like, your entire life was a lie and you don't have a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the activations were very different, and it doesn't make a lot of sense why they're different. Also, how can the twins do their job when they don't know anything about their mission, which is kind of like we were talking about last week. In the hologram at Picard's bank, it still sounds like the hologram says Dodgers. Every time, even in the preview clip, they showed that scene, and she says daughter, but it sounds like Dodger every single time I hear it. And then I also said,
Dodger.
Why did
I didn't ever, I never heard Dodger.
I heard Dodger every single time.
Well, you're crazy.
She says it weird. Why did Agnes say it would be 1,000 years to make human synthetics? So when she later said she killed Bruce Maddox for her help on making human sense, is anything she said true? Never be alone with her. Also, she said she turned down his offer to go with him. So she's lying about her losing him, losing track of him. Which she tells Picard in the first episode. If he's a planet to work on all these androids, why is he working with Bejesus? They never answered that. Like, he's got the whole planet.
Can you just say Bejesus so we can all like remember Bejesus? That you're actually talking about a character in the show
Bejesus is Bejesus.
Just say Bejesus, please.
Bejesus. Narek said his brother died a year ago, so his brother. I was theorizing that maybe Elnor could be his brother, but I was like, oh, okay, that couldn't happen. I was wrong there, so that was my mistake on that assumption. And we also know his sister was the girl 12 years ago, so we know his sister wasn't his brother because we also theorized about that earlier on in the season. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for the more interesting things I wrote.
Anything you saw, you look back and you really enjoyed.
No, I thought rewatching the show made the stack of cards have less cards in it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it made the show a little bit more weak, I thought. But there was a couple things I just missed the first time that I was like, okay, I was wrong on that. But yeah, overall, like, I hope they do better next season. Michael Chabon is not involved. At least he's not the showrunner. So thank God for that. Hopefully we'll get some DS9 alumni into Star Trek. I mean, there's no actual facts that that's going to happen. I just hope it does, because DS9 was one of the best Star Trek shows, and they did relationships right. They had build up and character development, and they just didn't just force random decisions because they need to.
Well,
happen.
It was definitely DS9 was more about the character relationships. I mean, that was, I think that was, to me, in the writer's room, that was probably the focus, the main focus for them. Let's make this more about the characters than it was about. I mean, that was another thing I liked about this actually particular episode more, was that I think that's why it felt more TNG-ish, because we finally have Starfleet in it, which has been a big thing that's been missing for me, is that Starfleet's been largely missing from this, which is what Star Trek is about.
Yeah, I do miss that drastically. And like some of my favorite moments of the entire season, other than Nerissa's like amazing line to Seven, was just seeing Riker on the bridge of a starship. I mean, right. That was, I mean, nice.
Star Trek at its core is a military show, really, and there was almost none of that in this entire series.
Absolutely not. And it looks like they're set up to be renegades. Like they're all wearing like dark clothes, and they have a new little like secret badge that they're all wearing at the very last shot. It looks like it was all like a setup so they could be renegades next season.
Yeah, it's like the new Firefly.
Yeah, but Firefly was better.
Yeah.
How about you, Aaron and Holly? Who wants to go next?
Whoever. I can go first. I can.
You can go first.
All right, I'll go. I don't think I'm as harsh as Dave on this. I think there are some wonderful, especially interpersonal, interactions. Obviously, Picard's death is very moving, and his last couple interactions with Data is wonderful. To see those two actors work together again, so that was really awesome. I think there was just so much that they could have done more with this season. I originally thought that they were going to somehow marry the synths into the Borg. That's where I thought they were going with this originally. And I thought, holy crap, that would be crazy if they just like totally like rework the Borg into some like, you know, put on steroids kind of thing.
That would be amazing.
Oh God, the Borg on steroids. I mean, the Borg are pretty indefeatable as it is.
I know. And that's why I thought they were going to go with it.
And that would be amazing. I would have loved to see that.
I really thought this were going to go, and they could have kept on going with the same themes and ideas. I just thought that was it would be a game changer, but apparently that's not where I was going.
Yeah, the Borg didn't play into the season nearly as much as, I mean, they were there, but it didn't play into the way I thought they would, you know?
I mean, obviously there were some really poignant moments with the Borg and the XBs trying to, you know, go back into society after they've been Borg. And obviously we've seen it with, you know, Picard and Seven of Nine, and even with Hugh. But, you know, we've never seen this many. So there's not a lot of backstory on that artifact Borg cube, too, how they captured it and where it came from. So,
and the thing is, I don't think we're going to see that now. I think that's kind of a one and done.
That story's over, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear more about it. It is interesting. And, you know, it's funny because I kind of feel like looking back on how Next Generation handled Locutus coming back. It seems almost unrealistic, because I think this was a much more realistic portrayal of what the ex-Borg would be going through, right, as opposed to just returning to become the captain of your ship, you know?
Right, right. I mean, obviously Picard had some clout behind his name, so obviously he was allowed to probably go back to his old life, right, as a captain when that happened. But, you know, other people obviously are nobodies, so they don't give him any kind of rights. Right. So I thought that was an interesting backdrop. But I mean, obviously I don't know how much they're gonna explore that in the future. You know, the crew, I think it's a smattering. I have mixed feelings. I think the actors are all freaking amazing. I think every one of those guys, you know, whoever they are, they're all fantastic. Just the characters themselves are so weird and messed up. I understand I understand that's what they're trying to like, kind of like saying like it's not a perfect crew, and they're gonna, but like, like, what, I mean, now that they've done their mission, what else are they going to do? I mean, unless next season we find out there's like something even more pressing for them to get involved with, you know, so.
It's right before we were recording, Dave sent us a meme that really demonstrated how horribly flawed this entire crew is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they are flawed. And sometimes it's interesting, obviously. I mean, not everyone can be an Enterprise crew member, you know, who are like the very best of the best,
right.
You know. But, you know, I don't know. So that's a mixed bag for me. I like some of it. Some of it's a little bit okay. It's kind of hard to operate with a crew that messed up, especially, you know, all the stuff that they've just went through and they're still trying to process. Lastly, for me was that battle with the evil, you know, AI, you know, whatever, end of the world thing. I kind of felt like they should have gone all out. Like it should have come out and either Picard and crew have to find a way to reason with it. That would have been the Star Trek way for me.
Right.
Or that, like we said before, just it never happened, you know. It's like she started opening it, but it just never opened. She never got that far. It just kind of felt to me like, why did we like just tease that? What was that going to do other than just, I could see it built a little tension into the thing, but it didn't build enough. And honestly, even the effects that, you know, of the robots coming through, it wasn't that fantastic. I mean, the battle above the planet with the orchids and all the explosions, that was far more interesting.
But that was where they blew their budget, was that the orchid fight,
which
didn't last all that long.
Yeah, Holly.
I just think it's about Picard. I don't think it's necessarily about the end game. I don't think it's about where's the story going. I think it's about what does this man represent, and does his people acknowledge it? Will they ever? And if they do, please make it happen soon.
Right. Yeah, this is where I, you know, I think I might differ a little bit with you, Holly. I don't know how you feel about this, but like, first of all, I mean, yes, this was, I do agree this was sort of a send-off for Data, like subtext, you know, this is where Picard makes peace with Data's death, and he got to say the last words he had to say to him. I felt like the whole series, like, Picard isn't really the main character, and, I mean, he's an important character, and I kind of feel that, like, he does do some meaningful things when it matters, but he takes a backseat to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And the best part of Picard, honestly, through all this, these 10 episodes, are his like pearls of wisdom that he kind of gives to people. He gives it to, Agnes when he's saying we have to lead by example. And, you know, that was a great one. When he talks to Rios just before they get to, the synth world, that, you know, he kind of talks him out. It's like, what if these synths are as evil as they say they are? He says, we can't live in fear, kind of thing.
Give them the benefit of doubt.
Right.
Life is precious.
He gives a bunch of great little speeches throughout the things, which I think he does, you know, obviously Patrick Stewart does fantastic with. And he's very convincing, and he gives that commanding presence when he's on screen. That's what we know and respect. I'm okay with Picard as a character becoming older and not as, like, you know, in the action all the time. But also, I kind of feel like he's kind of like just shows up once in a while, you know, to just deliver a couple lines.
Oh, so, yeah, for sure.
I mean, that is kind of what an admiral does.
I know, but
it's like called Star Trek Picard.
Yeah, I kind of want more Picard. I guess that's what I want. Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, you can't. It's hard. It's hard to any and shows like Buffy and Angel. They are the focus of the show, but they need an ensemble to make.
Oh,
the show.
I agree. You can't do it up all by yourself. Not well, at least.
I agree with you. And I just an aside. I feel like the show was supposed to be written around Soji, and then they just like in late in the drafts they started to rework it. So that's why like it feels so disjointed in the first couple episodes, because we keep jumping back to Soji because it was originally written to have more stuff to do with her. But I feel like a lot of her stuff got cut. And then they tried to re-emphasize Picard, and but because Picard wasn't super emphasized at the beginning, there was only so much they could do to get more of him, I guess, maybe?
I don't mind the Soji part. I think it obviously we've talked about the pacing in the first like three or four episodes.
Yeah.
It's kind of disjointed and we want to see it come together faster.
Yeah.
That's I think, and I've made the comment before, I think that's a lot of serialized, you know, streaming shows now. I think they don't have tight editing and script writing. I think they kind of let scenes go longer than they should.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's an issue with a lot of a lot of shows. I wanted to see a little more Picard, and you know, maybe that's just how it is. That's how obviously they wrote it this way, and obviously, you know, I'm sure Patrick Stewart isn't doing, you know, he's not going to be doing the same kind of amount of work that he did in TNG.
Oh, he's not doing. No. He's not doing 14-hour days.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. He shows up, you know, works for maybe 4 or 5 hours, you know, takes a break for a little bit and comes in and does a couple of shoots. But I mean, I'm sure he's not doing insane days like he did in TNG. Right.
It's kind of why I was hoping that when they killed Picard, that he would just like be assimilated into Soji. So Soji would be the main character, because it seemed obvious that she was kind of supposed to be. Yeah. And like that way they can keep Picard in Soji and she could have all his memories and whatnot. And then like be the speech maker or whatever and make her the main character.
Before they showed him come back to life, and we assumed he was – like for like a hot minute there, like, oh, they're going to put him into the Golem and come back to life. I was hoping they weren't going to use a different actor to bring – I was hoping that Patrick Stewart was going to be the new Patrick – you know what I mean? Like the new
– Yeah.
I hoped too, but I just felt like the only reason to kill Picard was to not have to pay him anymore. You know what I mean? Like, why kill him and then keep bring him back
Patrick
instantaneously?
Patrick Stewart is the reason why people are watching Picard.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Nobody's
dialing in for anybody
season.
Else.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
7 of 9, maybe.
Seven of nine, maybe. But I mean, you're right. But at the same time, like it just felt like, you know, even before the show came out, we were thinking there might be like a bait and switch to call it Picard, and then like he'll get his brain put into somebody else, and that would make more sense. Well, I mean, Patrick Stewart's old. I mean, he's not going to be acting for a lot longer.
I mean, he's 94 for Christ's sake.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I mean, it just seemed like they had an easy out and for Patrick Stewart. Because, I mean, he didn't even want to come back to do Star Trek Picard for a long time. He didn't want to replay the character again. So, like, all of a sudden, like, he's, like, re-in love with the character. It's really, really strange.
And, no, he's in love with a 9-to-5 schedule that probably shoots in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That's what he's in love with. You know what I mean? He's got a steady gig. He doesn't have to go on location anywhere.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But also, he's rolling in it. He doesn't need more money.
Right.
Holly, why don't you go on to what you're thinking, your thoughts.
I have a lot of thoughts.
I got a lot of things to say, people.
Well, I have a lot of... It's hard because there are so many of us, and even when there are only three of us, it's hard to get in what you want to say. And
I'm sorry.
No, I really enjoy having you. I'm sorry. I don't want it to say that
I'm
way.
Sorry, I'm
also
Kathy.
No, I lose my track, my train of thought easily. So it's hard. I have a ridiculous amount of things written down. One thing I want to bring up currently, but I have other things that are written down that are asterisked that I want to rebuttal with that have already been talked about, like maybe even half an hour ago. I feel like, I think, David, you were talking about how the episodes or the series has seemingly been more about Soji. And again, I feel like, you know, I think Soji is like an introductory to a story arc rather than it being about her.
Oh, no, Holly, I don't think it was about her. I think it was originally written to be about her, but then they switched gears. I don't think the show in its current state is about Soji. I think it was originally supposed to be, and they changed gears during production.
Thanks for letting me get my full thought out.
Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, what did you think about Picard itself as a character? Do you think they gave through everything that he should have been? I felt that it was Picard a little light. You think they gave him enough screen time?
I think that it was light enough because Picard, even in The Next Generation, has been about his crew, and you learn more about Picard in The Next Generation through his crew's eyes than you do his own. So I actually don't think that it was a disservice to the character to have the crew be in the spotlight. It doesn't, to me, that doesn't seem like a problem at all. It seems much in the norm.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree, but does that make sense?
Yeah, Picard is such a closed-off character. I mean, even when Data says that you love me, he doesn't even actually say the words "I love you" to Data.
No.
So Picard is not capable of saying it.
Yeah. I mean, he says it to Raffi in the previous episode, which I think the reason why he did that, I'm not saying he didn't love her, but I think he did that because he knew she needed to hear that.
She needed to hear it, right, exactly.
Yeah, and that was something that a captain has to do. That's something a leader has to do. You have to, I mean, you have to know how to talk to the people under your command. You have to know how to talk to people under you. You have to know how to talk to people above you. He uses his judgment to those people, and he will go above himself and reach out as a friend, and if he gets knocked down, he's not going to stop. So, I mean, I think that he was showcased very well, even though he wasn't actually always on screen or the story wasn't always about him specifically. Mm-hmm. His whole thing is that life is precious and all of the lives on his crew are going to matter. And they're going to build him, just like, I know I keep going back to this, just like the opening scenes where all of these broken pieces make up Picard. I think that his crews make him who he is. It's not all just about, let's watch Picard. Let's do what he's doing.
Right.
You know?
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, in, as we were saying before, you can't have a show just on one person or it's just boring.
Exactly.
And even Patrick Stewart, I don't think we'd want to see him doing everything. So
exactly. And another point that ties into that that I had asterisked was we can't expect action-packed full throttle all the time with these shows. You know, sometimes the message needs to be shared slowly or over time to make the point that the artist is trying to make, that the writer and the producer and everybody's trying to make. So we can't expect every episode to be like, bam, 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 here it is, have it on a plate. It's for you to enjoy, eat it up. It's sometimes it's like we have to go, oh, wait, 6 episodes ago, this was said, and that makes total sense now. Sometimes that's important.
It is important. I think there's some things that did pace well for the show for telling a story like through little droplets that are going to be revealed or more will be revealed over it. I mean, Soji is probably the best example of this whole thing because, you know, you got parts of her story slowly being revealed over a little bit, but it took time for it to actually come into full focus. Mm-hmm. I just feel that they could have wrapped up some of those beginning scenes a little quicker in some ways. I felt like, you know, especially they kept jumping back to Chateau Picard in the first like 2 or 3 episodes. I was like, can we just get off the planet?
Can we get off world? Yeah. No, yeah, that's a good point. I know someone, I want to say it was Dave, somebody mentioned a cliffhanger.
Yeah, and I thought they were going to do a cliffhanger. I totally thought there were going to be a cliffhanger at the end of this.
So did I. Yeah.
I didn't see a cliffhanger. Did anybody see a cliffhanger?
No.
Because when we were talking, I wrote, what? Like, cliffhanger? I didn't catch one. So maybe I just interpreted you guys wrong. But I kind of have a lot to say. Jeff, I had a rebuttal to something you had said.
Please.
And you were talking about time, like, spacing. And I know you had said that you wished that maybe they spent less time with, like, developing the first chunk of episodes, and they were able to spread out these last few episodes. And just because we talk about this stuff all the time, I feel like, I don't know that that would have made a difference. I feel like even if these last two or three episodes were spread out, I really don't think people would have been satisfied. I think people would have been bored. Granted, they could have filled in little things that would have made a lot more sense. Like, for instance, Raffi and Seven, you know, there really is never a time when they're able to build a relationship. So, like, on one hand, I kind of agree to you, but on the other, I kind of disagree. I feel like a lot of people would find a reason to be dissatisfied, even if these were stretched out. Do you know what I mean?
And by people, you mean Dave?
Well, sometimes I mean Dave.
No, I mean, I agree with Jeff. I think they should have condensed the first couple episodes and expanded the last couple. I think the story, it would have served the story better to do it the way Jeff said, because...
And I agree to an extent.
So much time was wasted in the first couple episodes. And then the last... And it's like a CBS by... All Access by Numbers. The last two episodes, just, they don't have enough time to really get it all out. And so things are rushed and assumed, and it just is annoying. And they've done it three times now, and I really hope they stop doing it, because...
And...
Go ahead. Or just build for a cliffhanger. That's all they need to do.
Well, a good point on Dave's behalf. You know, the whole thing with what was it, episode 4, when they went to, like, Space Vegas?
Yeah.
Where Raffi meets her kid. It was pandering. It was like, what is the point? And so, like, I made the argument that, you know, this was just a way to get her to go with them. And that's all it should have been. But drugs could have been a way to get her go with them. It didn't have to be this big elaborate thing about her family. And now there's this love interest. So I do agree to, you know, Dave, it didn't pan out. There was no reason for her to go follow her kid and to get this whole disappointment thing. It was kind of like treading water, like a dog, like swimming back with his ball, like, I got it. Like, it was kind of like slow moving, and like, why are we doing this?
One thing with the Raffi character I just want to bring out that I liked was that when Elnor came and cried with her, it seemed like
so open.
But it was so like, think about it. She's been having these like conspiracy theories with the Romulans and the attack on Mars, and then her son is leaves her for, and he's got a Romulan wife expecting, and you know, she doesn't harbor grudges against the Romulans.
No,
you know.
And I cried the most when she and he were together, because he leaves in absolute candor. And she is she's not secretive, but she's not forthcoming. Right. And so for her to have Elnor in her life, it's not necessarily that Elnor thinks of her as a mother figure, but it's just that she has him in her life. She wasn't able to be a mother.
Right.
She might now have the opportunity to be a mother figure.
Auntie Raffi.
Raffiella. Right. You know, they...
Here's 16 slices of cake.
This is a good character building moment for Raffi. You know, she doesn't have... What's funny?
He said here, Dave said, have 16 slices of cake.
And chocolate milk.
I don't get it.
When she gave Agnes the
red velvet. Didn't she only get like three slices of cake?
I know, it was just
funny. Oh, okay. I get it now. Remember, I'm a robot. I don't get jokes.
That's funny.
But yeah, she now maybe has the opportunity to be a mother-ish figure in a person's life, and I think that maybe that's going to change her, which is a great thing. And that's the only reason why I even bought the whole 7 of 9 with Rafi thing, because she allowed herself to cry with Elnor. And I think that that was a big moment for her, even though we didn't see anything about that. I feel like that was a character growth moment.
Yeah.
No, so that was good.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I was just something I pointed, I was thinking about when I saw that scene. Yes, it was a moving scene, but also I was like, wow, you know, she could have been like, get the fuck away from me.
She could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
But she's such a broken woman that to have, especially someone the age of her son confide in her, I think that was helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple other things. I'm glad that Soji was not the destroyer.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, that was great. I don't know that this will ever be answered, but the butterfly that lands on Picard's hand I found was curious. It changes color, and we don't see that in any of the butterflies throughout the show. Does anybody have anything to say about that?
Made their butterflies. He mentioned that last time.
I know.
So they're synthetic butterflies. So they
They didn't change colors for anyone else. But they're also, did they land in other humans?
No, they didn't. They're in a world full of synths, so no.
I just saw it as it's, you know, a way to tell the story. You know, here you have Picard, you know, seeing the butterfly fly, you know, off his finger, saying you're so lucky. And then the butterfly then floats in between, you know, Seven and Rios. And then it goes to, you know.
But we don't know it's the same butterfly.
No, but I think it's like just a story.
Just a visual thing.
Yeah, storytelling.
Or was it a Reading Rainbow reference?
And all
Reading Rainbow. Reference.
Yeah.
That'd been great.
all laughing aside, I think that the butterfly, I don't know, it just seems like that was something different that happened. And so I wasn't sure. And actually, when I watched that happen, I went, did that butterfly just like copy his genetic code or some crazy shit? I was like, what did that butterfly just do? But yeah, I didn't feel, I don't know. Maybe the butterflies are going to have a comeback in the future. Who knows?
There's new baddies next season.
The evil butterflies.
I know we already talked about, you know, what happened to Narek, and who knows? It's all speculation. Is he sleeping with them? Is he like a slave? Like, what is he doing?
He's a sex slave to all the robots now. Because his sister did fuck them.
And we know we know that he is intimately interested. Like in the beginning of the season, it is very clear that it may not be Soji that he's intimately interested in. It may legitimately be her upbringing, her species, her whole thing. So
he's got a fetish, is what you're saying.
I mean, it's kind of, I guess that could be considered a fetish. But yeah, it could be. Okay, I got a couple other things. I got some funny things to say, and let me finish with like my serious things, and then I'll go into the funny things. I didn't really care for Agnes's. I didn't buy into her "I want to be your mother" thing. So I kind of got the feeling that that was going to come back in this episode. So I'm happy that happened. Something that bothered me. I love a good campfire. And David and Aaron, you know, I'm like, yes, campfires. Let's do campfires all the time.
You are a connoisseur of campfires.
Yes. But in this episode, why are they outside having a campfire on an alien planet when they recently caught the ship online? What was that about?
I think they just wanted to hang out outside, maybe?
Yeah, but with a prisoner? Let's all go have a campfire and talk about nothing because they're all staring at the fire miserably. And then they're just like, oh, yeah, you're here still? Like,
well, let's just put it. I mean, Rios and Rafi are letting, you know, Agnes run around free without putting her in any kind of like lockdown. So.
Space jail.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Rios wants to tap that.
Yeah, yeah, that. that doctor's ass.
Yeah.
He already has at least once before.
Mm-hmm. So that just kind of bothered me. I was like, okay, I'm all for having a campfire. Maybe bonding. Great.
Maybe she's into orgies and they can get all the holograms at once.
Oh, gosh. Well, that, wait, there's another thing. Oh, there's another intelligent thing I have to say, and then we're going to get into funny stuff. I love that when Picard and Agnes go to La Serena, they decide that they're going to, you know, he decides that they're going to go up into the atmosphere and they're going to, he basically, at that point, he's like, I'm about to give my life for these synths. And he doesn't tell Agnes, so...
I thought the same thing, actually.
Oh, did you?
BTW.
By the way, you might die. This is a one-way ticket.
Right. Maybe he should have told her.
Yeah. This might be him being like, you killed before, so this is your penalty.
This is your penance, yeah. On one hand, I was like, okay, he could have shamelessly taken her because... he knew how guilty she was, and he knew that she was ready to turn herself in, and he knew she was ready to basically die. And
he also may have beamed her out before he did what he was planning, you know.
He could have
gotten her off the ship at the last second.
That's a third option. But my other second option was, or he just had such complete faith in Soji that he knew they weren't going to die at the hand of the Tal Shiar.
True.
So... that was just something that I was just like, it's interesting that he just like,
that's without kind of, a fuss. That's actually kind of funny, Holly. Because I thought about that for a second too, but I just kind of dismissed it.
Dismissed it. Because mostly Picard is like, hey, let's group up. This might kill you. You ready to go? Like,
yeah, right.
This time he's just like, we need to get up there. And then he's like, oh, by the way, I'm about to give my life. And she didn't question it at all, which I commend her for.
What? Did you say what?
Yeah. Oh, we're going to die? Okay.
Did you what? You,
yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah, I know. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was one of like, the serious things I had to say. I don't know which one to say first. Let's go with the funnier one. David, when you were talking about the beast coming in from another world and having like the tentacles and stuff, it made me think of... Futurama with Beasts of a Million Backs. Have you ever seen it?
It's been
which one's
while.
That one?
I don't. Maybe
which one's
so
that
it's
one?
It's one of the TV movies. So it's one of their like. I mean, it's kind of a movie, and it's like where the beast comes in through the rip in space, and he like suction cups to the backs of their necks, and he like talks to them, and he's like Fry is their preacher.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's great.
I didn't think of that watching the show, but when David said something, I was like, wait a minute, Futurama episode. What was that episode?
Million
Bags.
It's been a long time. I don't remember that episode super clearly.
Oh. Well, the only other thing I have to say that was kind of like, should I say this? Maybe I shouldn't say this. Or maybe my microphone was on mute. But, Dave, you were talking about Data's off button being in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Her having a button is probably a conscientious decision because can you imagine if he had to turn her off from behind? The feminist movement would have a fucking field day.
Now lean over my knee. I'm going to spank you and turn you off.
Yeah, that would have not been good. That would have ended the entire show. So, I mean, that's kind of funny, but, like, at the same time, it's like, okay, no, people would have really had a problem with that. Yeah, and it's funny because...
he's also an old man, and these robots are all young and superhuman. So he needs a more effective... I said he's old and frail, and all these androids are young and superhuman, so he needs a better protection than trying to grab their butt.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's, like, the funny part. I just feel like it's funny that, you know, 20 years ago, it was okay for us to not necessarily manhandle an automaton or an android, but...
like Kirk would have done.
Kirk manhandles them all.
Mm-hmm. Now it's like, we're like, we're going to have a control, which they might have a problem with too, which we can talk about Stepford Wives if you want to.
I know. That's an episode to talk about.
Oh, that'd be a fun episode. When you guys were talking, I was like, oh, that's very interesting that, you know, they had Data's switch was in his, up his back, or as David thinks, up his butt. And in this case, it's a controller. But I think that that's definitely a smart move on the production's side, because if they had tried to do it the same way they had done it with Data, I think people would have been really angry.
Oh, she probably still has a physical off button. Especially since
it would have been a female character. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean... And then also, like, does Picard have an off button?
Oh, yes, he does.
Oh, yeah.
Being a golem, I don't think he would. I think that that body would be, like, I don't think that it would. I think that it would essentially be a shell.
Oh,
I don't think he'll be able to be reprogrammed. I don't think he'll be able to be shut off. I think he's literally, he is what he is when the mind goes in, and that's what it is. And I could be wrong, but that's what I think.
Yeah, I think he's just a biological robot, I think.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they actually, if they get into that more next season, or if they just kind of just let that, you know, fly off into the wind.
I think it'll just come up in reference if they try to do a synth ban. Otherwise, it won't be a thing, I don't think.
It would be neat. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just think it was weird that he just lifted the synth ban that quickly, too. It's like, and they lift the synth ban.
Yeah, right. I just don't see a reason why Soji would need to go with them. And then I just don't know why everyone was crying for 30 minutes. Because they said Agnes and AI Soong just took him in and start doing the brain transplant immediately. I mean, I guess it took a while, but like everyone's all crying. It's like we're fixing him like as we speak. Like
maybe they didn't.
Why didn't you say, hey guys, don't worry, we kind of got this.
They may have not believed that it were possible because they lived through a time where synths were banned and the idea was completely impossible to them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
maybe they're keeping a surprise too.
Perhaps. I mean, that's more likely, but yeah. As far as Soji going with them, I don't think she has anything left on that planet. You know, she has no memories. This is a big thing for her. She has no memories. She has no ties. While she may be an ambassador for her people because she is going out into the world, I don't think she really feels connected to her people, even though I did think that maybe all of them were connected in the way that the Borg were connected. I was completely wrong in that sense. Mm. But yeah, I think her going with Picard is a good choice for her. You know, the people that she thought were her family were false. The people that she traveled with became her family, and the people that really were her family, they are strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I guess that's how it goes, right?
Sadly, that's how it goes.
I don't know. I am excited to see where they could take it in next season. I think they could do some fun things. Hopefully it's an engaging story. I think this season is much more put together than the Discovery seasons have been. Mm-hmm. I think it's more, you know, the direct plot line doesn't vary too much.
Well, it was interesting. Like, I was talking to the guy earlier today, and I was like, Discovery is less boring, but the story is worse. Picard is more boring, but the story is better. It's weird.
I don't know. It didn't bother me. I didn't think this. I don't think it was boring. I wouldn't call it boring. I don't think it was snappy enough. That's all.
The pacing made me bored in the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, get to the point.
Yeah.
I'm different. I like to watch a show, and I want everything super subtle, and I want to be able to figure everything out on my own and before anybody else might catch wind of what's going on. That's something that I like. So when it's a little more secretive and, you know, kind of like this, that's what I like.
I like subtle too, but this was almost too subtle to the point where Michael Chabon's answering questions offline because there's no clear answer in the show at all.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how it is for you because you like to read and hear what everyone says before the episode airs or like I don't know. I don't know. I think you're this sounds bad. Everything I want to say kind of sounds bad and I don't want it to sound bad. I don't want you to sound like I think badly of your opinions cuz I really love your opinions.
Let's get out in the open. You do.
No. No, David has a lot of knowledge and I love it and that's his like his niche is that he knows a lot. It's hard for me to fathom how you watch because when I watch I need absolute no spoilers. I want to get the experience that the writers and the producers and the actors kind of want me to get. I want to experience it the way that they are asking me to. So David, when you are looking at like, oh, this is the behind the scenes, the thing that I read, and I read this, and I read that, and I watched this interview, and I watched that, and I know what's going to happen this season, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of your opinion could be kind of tainted by the information that you get prior to experiencing what they want you to experience. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not bad, it's just different, and that might be how you enjoy to watch things, and that's okay.
I mean, I just don't
relate to it.
Yeah, I just, you know, I try to temper my expectations because my expectations are usually way more grand than what the things are, and even tempering my expectations, I was still kind of disappointed with the season overall. I'm glad to see Picard back. I want to see. I just wish they would like set up for like a season two, like some kind of like what's going to happen next, a cliffhanger, something to look forward to.
When was it officially greenlit for season two?
Before it aired.
Oh, yeah. It did. Well, I'm wondering how far along they were into the writing process or shooting process at that point.
They weren't. Patrick Stewart went on the Whoopi Goldberg show and said, "You're going to come be on season two with us. We'll figure it out." I don't think they've started anything other than that we know Michael Chabon's not on. I mean, I guess they can be sending emails to each other.
My point, though, is that they may not even know they were going to be picked up for season two when they were writing this, so they couldn't leave it at a cliffhanger.
Well, I mean, like, they also, like, I mean, you can always leave it at a cliffhanger. Look at lots of movies in the 90s that ended at a cliffhanger that never got a sequel. I mean, you can do whatever you want just because you leave it on a cliffhanger doesn't mean it's ever going to get resolved. Right. And they pitched it as a limited series, so they're pitching it as a 2 or 3 season thing.
Right.
And, you know, I think I started enjoying the show more. I did like the back half of the series more than the front half. And I think once I started thinking of this entire 10 episodes as a act one, like it became a little bit better in my mind because it is all act one. It's all setting it up.
Right.
Because the team's sorted together and they're sort of not like they keep, you know, moving characters around, and now we're all on the ship. Finally, we've got a crew, we've got it set up, so next season can go and do what it needs to do now that it's set up. Like act one's a setup, act two can be the building action since they just deflated all the building action at the end of season one. Season two can be act two, and then season three can be act three, and then the show will be over because they did pitch it as a limited run because Patrick Stewart's not going to do it for forever unless they just morph the show into 7.
I'm crazy.
Yeah, they'll just switch it over from Picard to 7. You know what I mean? You know, it's basically the same show, but it's just switching names or whatever. Same crew, same everything. Just Picard drops out and 7's the new leader. Who knows?
I think that's where you're going to go with it. I don't see how. I mean, I think they'll go to season two. Patrick Stewart will, you know, wrap up his story, whatever that'll be, and then
they'll kill him for real, and then I'll be sad.
Yeah, then 7 will take over for whatever, and that'll be the, you know, whatever they'll call it, but it'll be the 7 of 9 show.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the season.
You can call it that.
Yeah, hopefully, or just since it started off as Picard, it can just transition to 7.
Yeah, but you also call Discovery the Michael Burnham show. So.
Yeah, but that's because it's Discovery and all. It's supposed to be Star Trek Discovery with the whole crew, and all we get is Michael Burnham. So, which, you know, I get
Maybe
it.
Maybe you guys would have hated Picard if it was all about Picard. Maybe you would have been pissed off then because you guys hated Discovery because it was about Michael Burnham.
It's possible.
They would have called it Star Trek Michael Burnham, then that kind of sets the expectations. Star Trek calling it Star Trek Picard. Like, Picard was featured less in this show than Michael Burnham was in Discovery.
Why does Discovery disclude a particular character?
Because all the Star Trek shows never
just because the ship is called Discovery.
Yeah, I mean all the shows have been named after the ship, save for Next Generation and Picard.
Well, Picard is different because it's Picard.
Oh yeah, but Deep Space Nine was named after the space station. Enterprise was named after the Enterprise at X-01. Voyager was named after Voyager. Like, they were all pretty much named after the ship. Discovery's named after the ship, so you expect it to be more about the crew because Star Trek's always been about the crew and. They've never been as laser focused on a single character.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think there are points to every. I mean, yeah, I get. I completely understand where you guys are with like Seven of Nine and Raffi. I think that they should. Interlocking Hands was a little serious. If they wanted us to think, oh, they might be into each other, maybe like one hand on top of the other. That would have been different, but interlocking hands meant like, oh, this is definitely a thing. Right. Like, that was weird. That was a little too fast, a little too fast. And it wasn't that it was unwelcome. It was definitely a welcome message, but
oh, yeah.
I'm down for Seven doing scissors, but I mean that's
but it wasn't built up. We weren't given the appropriate amount of time to go, ooh, should they be a thing? And then when they're a thing, we go, fuck yeah! Like, that's what you want to feel when you watch a show and you see
exactly
together.
Show, don't tell. This is how you're supposed to do writing in movies and stuff like that. Show, don't tell. And by just having them holding hands like that, you're telling us instead of showing us. You're telling us they're a couple with no showing us how it got there. Mm-hmm. It's just disappointing. I wanted to see the romance. I wanted to see something.
Yeah.
And I feel like Seven's getting screwed. Because
they did
the exact same thing with Chakotay. They just put her with Chakotay, and there was no lead up or pretense to that either. It's the same thing. And I'm just like, why?
And maybe it's the actor not – don't shoot my head off. And maybe the actors just didn't understand that they needed to be a lot more subtle for such a small words.
Gesture?
Words.
Gesture, yes. Gesture is a great word. So they didn't need to be so finite for such a small gesture. Interlocking hands is like a we've already decided this, but it was like, they just got off the planet. Why are they already interlocking hands? Like, this is something that maybe an open hand, like my hand in yours kind of thing. This is something like a maybe I'm going to put my hand on yours and reassure you and hey, let's make eyes. There's a difference between a subtlety and full on we are into each other. Right, and that kind of clasped hands is kind of like a banging, and while they maybe should have like one hand on top of the other, like, and it's not a sexist thing, it's just.
No, I agree in some ways. It just it seemed like it went really quick. I mean, it was like. It would have been nice to have a little more story or something. Maybe they'll tell some of the backstory.
Or maybe in season two they'll be broken up and then they'll be fighting the entire season because drama.
I mean, they'd just be crazy.
I mean, like, I don't want
but
that.
I don't think that's what's going to happen.
I mean, I don't think so either, but I'm just saying, like, they like drama, and I think it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Who likes drama?
Me like drama. You like drama. Yeah, they like
that's
drama.
That's right. You like drama.
No. I don't want to see them fighting. I would like to see their relationship build, but I would have rather seen the beginning instead of just saying, oh, look, they're together.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, guys,
this is
there's a lot to talk about, but I think there's not much more we can say. we should do a look back on the whole season.
Yeah, maybe in a couple of weeks. But, yeah. Maybe get some separation.
Yeah, let's get a palate cleanser in there or two.
Yeah, get a couple of do some other things.
Kaylee really wants us to talk about Gangsters Triskelion because the episode we did right before Discovery with Holly, I told her that like she showed me up because I didn't realize what happened in the episode.
Okay. Well, anywho, that's we'll have to figure that out. But guys, it's been an excellent ride. We obviously did the build up to Picard, and then we did Picard. And
so hard,
and it's been a lot of Picard.
It has, and you guys are all quarantined, so
you're stuck with it.
Please be healthy. Please keep your mittens to yourself.
Keep your mitts to yourself.
Yeah,
there's healthy. A condom shortage. Be safe.
Just don't. Right. There's a time for abstinence, and this is it.
Yes. With that, Jeff, give everyone the contact information for Screen Radar.
Thank you, sir. It is screenradar.com. That's radar, R-A-D-A-R, .com. It's YouTube, Screen Radar, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And check us out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it will have to get you back in maybe another topic other than just than Picard. So, although it was good to have you, and good to have your thoughts and feedbacks for all that.
Yes, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm sorry, Holly, if I was too much of a chatty Cathy.
No, it was great. I didn't write anything. I did not have enough time to write things down, so I apologize. I feel like I would have had better thoughts gathered already, and I had to write down as Aaron was kind of narrating. So, apologies necessary.
Well, thank you.
It was great.
And I appreciate it. And thanks for having me back, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to have you. Guys, you can always find us at Synthaholics.com. You can tweet at us at SynthaholicsDuo. We also have our Instagram as well. It's Synthaholics.podcast, right? A couple pictures, not much right now, but we'll
I'm gonna take
more
one right now.
It's there you
my
go.
Snap, or what's it called? The Skype window. We'll see.
Oh, Skype window. There you go. People might like to see that, and so you can join us there. Also go to our Facebook group, Facebook /group/ Synthaholics. That's a lot of people talking on there, so definitely go on there and check us out. If you feel like this show is something you would like to support, you can go to our Patreon/ Synthaholics. You can support the show that way, and obviously always sharing the show, retweeting us, just interacting. Obviously, we had it was Brad, right, who sent us the email before.
Yes.
Dave. Obviously, we read email. So if you do have an email, you can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. We would welcome any of your thoughts. Awesome, guys. Well, it's been a great ride. It's been interesting to see where this all develops and see where this all came out. There's some great parts and there's some disappointing parts, but I'm sure we've all been entertained in some aspects. So, all right, guys.
Except Dave.
I'm just crying over in my corner.
Yeah. Don't cry, Dave. Well, as always, live long and prosper, one and all. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Be well, be healthy. Do what you need to do. Stay safe.
Wash your hands.
Stay home. Maybe stay home.
Wipe your butt if you have toilet paper.
Give the Vulcan salute. Means. Don't shake hands.
There you go.
No shaking hands.
There you go.
Yeah. Keep
we
to
did
yourself.
It. Picard. So much Picard.
Yes.
We're going to have to take a moratorium for Picard for a while.
Yeah, I definitely need a breather.
Yeah. I'll have to do something else for a little bit. Jeff, man, thanks. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me back, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Hopefully, staying up at midnight's not a big deal these days. So
no, I'm about 6 hours, but I'm just going. I'll be right back where I'm sitting here at my desk to work in the morning. So
I did go back through and watch all the episodes, and I wrote extensive notes. Most of my notes are for the first couple episodes, and then they start tapering off. And then I actually did note where I definitely made a mistake, so I can point my mistake out later and one or two things I said.
Do we want to just even mention about just with the coronavirus, there's like everything is shut down for production wise for, so obviously we're not getting Discovery anytime soon.
Right.
Which, like, I think that was in the outtakes, though. I left that in the outtakes. We talked about Discovery briefly. We didn't talk about it in news, so I just left it in the outtakes.
Right.
But yeah, so, we can talk about it. We can talk about it.
I mean, we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah. Just,
it's opposite. It's a... It's a thing.
Everything shut down until further notice.
And obviously, there's like all this like talk about now. There's a Seven of Nine spinoff show.
They don't even need to. She's part of the crew now. Like they can just leave.
I think they're gonna do season two, and then you know Patrick Stewart say peace out, and then she'll take over.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny that they're going that way, which is like exactly what I was pitching to happen before even the first episode aired. I'm like, they'll kill Picard, and Seven of Nine will be like in charge.
Right.
Anything else you want to say, Holly? Is there anything important you want to bring up, just so we know, other than the standard?
I mean, not really. I didn't have a whole lot of time to get any thoughts together. I didn't get to rewatch the season.
Okay, that's cool. I just want to make sure everyone's anything else before we start. That I'm not,
yeah, that's not pretty missing much, anything. Yeah, that's
okay. No. All right, Dave. Whenever you're ready, is everyone set to go?
Like, save a lot of toilet paper. Nothing you'd really want to use, but you know,
save a lot of toilet paper is better than the alternative. Zero toilet paper.
It was the kind of stuff you find like on a college campus. Like nothing there. They're not splurging, you know.
Right.
Now it's all gone. I was there yesterday, it's all gone.
The barely single-ply toilet paper.
Right, yeah.
It's mostly air.
Mostly bark.
It's the Aerobar of toilet paper.
Right.